Listen now for the founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Today's message was selected from among the earliest recordings preserved from his lifetime and ministry.
And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now I'd like for you to get this picture. Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross. If anybody was ever helpless, you'd think he was helpless. There he is. Nails have been driven into his hands and feet. And there he's hanging. He's between two thieves. He's always in the center, somebody said. He was in the center here. He's on the central cross, hanging there, bloody, mangled, dying. There was a crowd about him. What a crowd it was. Oh, I wish I could paint that picture of Jesus. I've always wanted to be an artist, to paint just one picture. I wanted to paint a picture of Christ on the cross. If I could paint the picture of Jesus dying, as I've seen that picture with the eyes of my soul, I'd break the hearts of the world. I'd like to paint a picture of his hands. What hands Jesus must have had. Those loving hands of his. Those hands that fondled the cheeks of a mother. Those hands that touched blind eyes and made them see. That touched deaf ears and made them hear. Those hands that touched a leper when no other hand would touch a leper. Those hands that broke bread to feed the hungry. Those blessed hands of our blessed Lord. They were always lifted to bless, never lifted to curse. The last time the anointed eyes of saved men saw Jesus, he was climbing an invisible stairway back to the sky. And they looked up, and they saw his hands, and they were stretched out in blessing. While he was blessing them, he went up to heaven. Not after he got through, but while he was doing it, he went up to heaven. Oh, those blessed hands. They were torn at the cross by cruel nails for you and me. Did you ever think about the feet of Jesus? The feet that never made a selfish step. Those feet that ever went on errands of mercy. Those blessed feet. Those feet that walked 25 long, weary miles one day to raise a widow's son and bind up the broken heart of that mother. Those blessed feet. Those feet that were accustomed to royal carpets. Up in the sky, came down to this earth and walked the dusty road. Walk down the way of human need and human sympathy. Those feet were torn at Calvary by a cruel spike for you and me. Did you ever think about the heart of Jesus? That heart that was a stranger to selfishness and malice and strife. That heart that never knew business. That heart that loved men so much it just broke from loving. That blessed heart. That heart from which came those words of such matchless pathos. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. That heart broke one day for you and me. Many women, do you love Jesus Christ? You know, the strangest thing to me in the world is that men won't love him. I don't see how I can keep from loving him. And I do not wish to shock you, but I want to say this in passing. To me, the greatest proof of human depravity is the fact that men do not love Christ. What hearts men must have. And yet I'm talking to people who believe the Bible story. You believe that Jesus was a virgin-born Son of God. You believe that he loved you and died for you. And yet you go on in sin. You reject him. You won't confess him. You won't trust him. You won't live for him. What kind of heart do you have? How can you keep from loving Jesus? You know, I've loved him since I was a little child. He's more to me than the memory of my mother. He's dearer to me than any human tie. I'm sorry I ever sinned against him. I'm sorry I ever went away from him. I wish I had always been right with him. I never shall forget when I was a child in this little country church. I saw one hanging on the tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eye on me as near the cross I stood. And I've loved him since that day. I love Jesus Christ. If I had one drop of blood in my veins that didn't flow in loyalty to the Son of God, I'd go see a surgeon. And I'd ask the surgeon to open that vein and let out that drop of blood. Do you love Jesus? Now get the picture. He's on the cross. He's hanging there, a mocking, cursing, hissing mobs about him. Here's a man on one side, a thief, railing on him. Here's a man on the other side, another thief. And this thief prays. Do you ever pray? Now wait. I didn't ask you, do you say prayers? A great many people say prayers. They never pray. Prayer saying is not prayer praying. Do you ever pray? You know, there's something of refreshing heart agony in prayer. It's midnight. The lights are out on the street, in the homes. But yonder's a little cottage. A little cottage where Wither lives. She's all alone. She has a son that's away out in the world, and she doesn't know where he is. He went away and left her with a broken heart. He was a bad boy. And now it's midnight in her home. There are a few dim rays of light trying to get around the window shades out to the street. And I wonder what's going on in that home. Oh, I know what's going on. That woman is prostrate by her bed. Her face is turned up toward the sky. And tears are coming out of her eyes, overflowing, and coming down to her cheeks. And they reach certain wrinkles, and then they turn their course and drop to the bed. And she's praying. She's saying, oh God, my poor, wayward, wandering boy. I don't know where he is. My boy out in sin. God, please, watch over him tonight. For the sake of thy son that died on Calvary's cross, watch over him. God, take care of my boy. Bring him back to me, God. Save my boy. That woman, she's praying. She's not saying prayers. People don't say prayers that way. They pray prayers like that. We need in this country a baptism of real, honest-to-goodness heart praying. We could solve our problems if we do it. But this man prayed for himself. Now, I want to say something to you, and I don't want to shock you. I want you to think it over for a moment. I cannot find in the Bible wherever God told any sinner to pray to be saved. Now, I can find examples where men did pray and were saved. And I can find statements like, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I cannot find any direct, specific command for any man to pray to be saved. You know, I thought about that a great deal. Why is that? Why didn't God say, pray and I'll save you? Why didn't he tell men to do it? He told them to repent. He told them to believe. He told them to obey the gospel. But he didn't command them to pray to be saved. And I got to thinking about it one time, and I believe I understand. You know, you cannot find the Bible where God ever told a mother to love a baby. Doesn't God want a mother to love a baby? Oh, yes. Yes, he does. But you know, God doesn't have to tell a normal mother to love a baby. You may not have wanted that little baby. But when that little baby was born, and that little bundle of humanity got in your arms, and you felt that little hand on your cheek and the little baby breath in your face, God didn't have to tell you to love the baby. You just couldn't help loving the baby because God gave you a mother's heart. And my friend, if you can see Jesus Christ dying on the cross, God won't have to tell you to pray to be saved. It's as natural for you to say what the thief did, God be merciful to me, God remember me. Or God save me, a poor sinner. And this man prayed. Years ago, a train was pulling into a town down south. It was on the outskirts of town, now moving in toward the station. All at once, it stopped suddenly. There's a traveling man there that got off the train, wondered if it stopped a while, what was the matter? And he went down the track and found the conductor, the flagman, the fireman, the engineer, standing there with lanterns in their hands. And he said, what's the matter? They said, we run over this poor fellow. He started across the track, and the train ran over and cut off his limbs. And the conductor said, I'll run across here and wake this man up and phone for the ambulance. And he ran across the street and came back and said, the ambulance is coming. The traveling man said to the porter, get my baggage off that car. I'll get in the ambulance and ride up with this man. My hotel is near the hospital. So the train pulled out and the ambulance came in. They took the legless man and put him in the ambulance. They put his lower limbs in too. And this stranger climbed in the ambulance with him. They drove rapidly down the street. The moon was still shining in the sky, pouring pale light through the window of the ambulance into the pale face of the wounded, weak man. The man said, Friend, will you pray for me? The fellow said, Buddy, I'm sorry, but I don't know how to pray. I never have prayed. Said, will you tell me a prayer I can pray? Well, he said, you might say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, I've heard a prayer like that, and you might try it. You might try it. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, I believe I'd say for Jesus' sake. They usually do. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, for Jesus' sake. Amen. He said, thank you. Thank you, pal. That's a good prayer. It isn't dark anymore. I'm all right now. I don't mind it. It's all right. I'm all right. That's a good prayer. Why don't you pray it? And by this time, they'd reached the hospital. They took the legless man upstairs and put him in bed. He was dead. And this traveling man, a worldly, wicked man he was, he went out in the garden, and he took off his hat and turned his face toward the eastern sky just as God was opening the door of the day. And he held his hat to his side, looked up to the heavens, and said, God, I'm a sinner too. Be merciful to me, a sinner, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And that man became a Christian that day. Sinner, Jesus Christ died on the cross. So an infinitely just God could have mercy on poor sinners. And if you're a sinner, you can right where you are, right now, you can bow your head. And you can say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you say it sincerely, he'll blot out your transgressions. And from this time on, you can be as pure in God's sight as if you never sinned. You can be ready to go to heaven like this thief, unfit for earth, in a moment of time was made fit to walk streets in paradise with the Son of God. When thou comest in thy kingdom, O Lord, remember me this day. Shall thou be with me in paradise? What a wonderful Savior. Our Father, help somebody to trust you, and we maybe beat somebody in heaven because of this little message. For Jesus' sake, amen. Goodbye, and God bless you.
You've heard a message recorded during the lifetime of the founder of Bob Jones University. Listen daily for messages by Dr. Bob Jones Sr., sponsored by Bob Jones University.